What time is it when an elephant sits on a fence?
Go on.
It's time to fix the fence. Spell the name Simon for me.
S-I-M-O-N.
You don't expect, okay. Spell the name Simone for me.
S-I-M-O-N-E.
So why isn't adding E change the whole name?
I don't know.
Why has it gone from Simon to Simone?
I don't know.
Because you don't even pronounce the E in Simone.
Simone. Interesting. I was thinking about pronunciation recently as well, like the way we pronounce things, but yeah.
I was thinking, why does it, what the name
did you
change?
Come across with that?
No, I was just thinking it.
Oh, fair enough.
I think I saw someone called Simon. I'm like, I don't know. And I was like, Simon and Simone, why does the name change all of a sudden? Because we added an E at the end.
Mm-hmm. Did you make sure your little grass are in there, yeah?
My little what?
Your little tree grass in the frame.
Yeah. This gives character to the thing.
That's what I have to ask, you know.
Welcome, guys. You're locked into another episode of The Centre Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Milen Sophia.
And yours, Tiwa.
Welcome, bem-vindos, my people. Tiwa.
Not much, man. Just here. How about you?
Not much, man. Just here.
Yeah.
That's dead. How far? How is it going? How's your week been? How's your time been since we last recorded? Anything new?
No.
Anything good? Anything bad?
No, I'm joking. Not as far as I don't know, just getting through day by day, innit? Nothing.
Last time we recorded, we went on holiday. We've been on holiday.
Yeah, nothing.
See, that's something.
Yeah, to be honest. I feel like that's always safe for the holiday segment, innit? But they expect us to be on holiday by now. We're going 3 months. If we haven't been on holiday, they're going to question us. Like, are we all right? Like, we're going 3 months in, 3 months deep into the year already. Year's going by quite quickly. It's March tomorrow.
You're not saying Java Day. Not even Java Day. I seem to kind of know that. I've actually stopped counting the days and the months and like, oh, the year's going by fast. Just, it is what it is.
It's not about counting. It's only when I notice it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, but I couldn't care to notice it. But what I'm saying is, it's always a good conversation starter though.
Is it? The year's going by fast?
Oh my gosh. Well, I do it with my patients a lot. February's nearly over, March. We're basically nearly summertime, and next we know Christmas is here. So what are you planning on doing for summer? The conversation
starts. No, it is, and because there's a film where then you then go on to speak about if it's going fast for you, if it's going slow for you.
What's happening?
You can lead into different avenues depending on how you do it.
Yeah. It's a very good conversation starter.
Yeah. How about you? How are you? What's new? What's good? Know. What's bad?
I'm quite hungry right now. I haven't eaten anything since lunch, so I might order something. What's new on the sun now?
I don't know if I'm going
to
go to the toilet yet. Halfway through.
If these two disappears.
Yeah, long day.
What's new? Nothing's new, really. Jay and I for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Chilling, billing, blessed.
Yeah.
Too blessed to be stressed.
I hear you. How's mental health?
It's good. Nah, there will never be a 10.
Why
it's
not?
A solid 7. Because if it's a 10, it means you're perfect. Nothing's perfect.
You could be perfect for the day.
Nah, nothing's perfect. No day is, I'll tell you much, as good as it is, no day is perfect.
Fair enough.
How about you?
Mine's been alright. I'll say 6.5. Just a little thing that annoys me here and there.
Yeah. Chilling. Yeah,
I wouldn't say it's not as bad. It's not bad personally, but it is what it is. But, yeah. That is really hurting.
Do you want to go to the toilet?
I don't know yet. I'm trying to feel what's happening in the insides of my system.
Don't feel too much.
It's too late.
Before it starts. Did you know that? When I was back in sixth form, some guy came to me and said he generally doesn't believe women poo.
I think you told me this before.
Have I?
Yeah. I was a bit like, what does he think we do?
Some men, are quite, ignorant to that. Would you, at what stage do you think you'd be able to, say, yeah, I'm about to go?
I'm not gonna give the obvious answer. I'm still, so we had this discussion. When you go on holiday, you said to me, do you even fart around me? Do you see what I'm saying? You've asked me this before. So
you don't think you've farted around me, have you?
This is what I'm saying. So whereas,
why?
This is what I'm leading to. So whereas you can already see where I'm going with that.
If you're not farting around me, you're not farting around your man.
So it's not that I don't fart around you. I'm just very cautious. About,
really?
Yeah. It's always been a
time. A different.
Yeah. It's always been that thing. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if we go away, you're gonna know I need to use the toilet. But if I need to use the toilet, I'ma put the music out loud, or I tell you to go for a walk.
Stop.
Yeah. It's just,
okay. Okay.
No, hear me. Hear me.
Are you gonna put a tap on as well?
No, hear me. Because my thing is, I am so comfortable around you, and you know this. I'm still yet to like do certain things around you, and you're like the most comfortable person outside my family that I'm cool with. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm yet, bro. We were on holiday. I think it was Egypt. We were in Egypt. Yeah. We're just walking. I think randomly Melania was a fire. She's like, sorry, I was like, it's whatever. Like, I don't, like, it doesn't bother me when people do it either. And then she's like, you know, I'm thinking, I don't remember you last time you fired around me. I was just like, yeah, I'm just very, I might do it, but it's a thing where you wouldn't even know I'm doing it. Cause sometimes I'll walk ahead, or I'll just do something random.
Really?
Or yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's just a thing where I've just never done it, even around my female friends. So it's a thing where now you're telling me I'm going to, not saying I'll never go toilet around him, because my husband's gonna have to get used to it. I feel like that's the kind of
But I'm saying, like, okay, cool, you're dating someone and he's invited you over to his house or whatnot, your man are chilling, and it's not one of them ones you can hold. Your belly is really,
no, that's fine. I'm that kind of person. I'm gonna think of a way to get you out, or I'm just gonna do that. Babe, I think my period's about to start. Can you go to the shop for me? I'll message you. Oh, can you go to this shop? No, you've got the wrong one. I am sending you fine.
So how many times did you get sent shop before you were like, you know what, it is?
No, it's not always going to be a shop thing all the time.
Okay, but how many times are you going to make up an excuse until you be like, you know what?
I don't know, you know, because I feel like it takes a lot, because I'm not even comfortable around my friend to do it, let alone do it in front of man.
She could have played music.
Like, I'm not even trying to lie. Like, you've asked me before, and it's not a thing where it's a, I can remember last time I've done it. Not saying I haven't, but I don't. It's a thing where you will not be aware that I've done it. Like, that kind of thing. So it's not, don't get me wrong, there'll be a certain time where I might get as comfortable where it's whatever. But in that early stage, I mean early. When I say early stage for me, I mean the first 5 years at most.
Man said first 5 years.
Unless she's putting a ring before 5 years, then you know what it is. I'm not even
saying sure. You're married by 5 years.
Amen. But
So it's going to be, he's probably won't ever even see you, that old experience you've gotten.
I doubt it.
Just about pooing, because after a while.
Pooing is like, babe, I'm going to toilet. And even that would probably be, I'm going to toilet. It might just be too far. If he catches me farting, it might just be one of them ones that I couldn't hold, and he's just silent, but it's not, and he's just thinking, oh, baby, you dropped one. I'm just like, yeah.
I'm not laughing.
But that's about it. But for me to randomly just drop. Yeah, no, I don't see
that's
myself
actually
doing
hilarious.
It.
Yeah.
How about you?
I don't know. Because obviously I'm a bit more,
you're a bit more comfortable. It's natural.
It just depends on the person that
it's
I'm
natural.
Dating. It is, and that's the thing. It is natural, because your partner is not gonna stop himself from doing it.
Yeah,
he's 100% doing it. Like, he's gonna 100% doing it.
Loose.
But it's obviously a taboo for females to fart or to poo, whatever. Clearly, out of ignorance, man, I don't think females even go to the toilet. Human nature, we have to empty our bowels.
Mm.
So it's like, like, it's more because of that little taboo and a bit of shame that comes with it. I can't tell you that I'll do it. If I'm desperate, I'm just going to do it. I'm not even going to send you away. But if I can hold it, then I'll wait till I get home.
Exactly. And it's not even that thing. With me, it's always been, I'm just comfortable. Please. Even, like, with family friends where I'm really, like, family friends that I'm really close to, like, there should be no reason why I can't go toilet and stuff. I still wouldn't, to a certain point. So,
if I gotta go, my guy.
See, the reason being, when I stayed at yours, only reason then is when I started, because I was like, bro, we went out, the food we ate was horrible.
Oh yeah, when Wingstop.
Yeah, bruh.
Those wings finished us.
Bruh. Luckily, it was a thing where we didn't have to go to the toilet at the same time. Luckily, because if that was the case, it's game over. But that was that kind of night where, you know, I'm going to the toilet. I'm not even high. I need to go to the toilet. I need to go to the toilet. My belly's hurting, and that's just it. Whereas that kind of situation is like, yo, you need to understand where I'm coming from. I have no choice or option anymore. I've hit.
I can actually just see you sitting there like sweating.
I wouldn't even sweat. I'd just be sitting like this. I'd just be like, rather than spending that, I've got to go home. My mom's messaged me, it's an emergency.
I don't know if it was real, but some girl put up on Twitter. Oh yeah. I think she was dating a guy and she went to his house. There's two actually. She went to his house and she pooed and then she blocked the toilet.
Yeah, I saw. Because she
and then she tried to get out the window
and she got stuck. No, that is absolutely mad. I don't know what's worse. What's more embarrassing? Because, boy.
And then there was another one where the girl pooed and she put it on the cat's litter box.
Oh,
and the girl was like,
no, but why have they put so much shame on it?
And then the girl was like, oh, did you shit in the litter box? And she's like, no, why is that? Because my cat's been dead a few days.
You're lying. No. Way! Oh my god!
She was like, because my cat's dead.
Yeah.
So she didn't know it, so she was gonna check the cat.
Imagine.
So she put in a little box. Ah, oh, I would have left it.
Another one
back.
Where she's tried to block. She put tissue so it doesn't let her drop. But then in the process of doing, she blocked the toilet. So yeah. Now the poo come out this bin.
Oh.
So now there's all on the floor coming out. He's like, are you alright? But shit everywhere.
Oh, you see, right? Yeah. We shouldn't have to go through all of this. We shouldn't have to go through. I feel like a man should be like, you know what? I'm okay with it. So you're more comfortable.
No, but it's not even about. My man can tell me. Yeah, you can't tell me.
It should be. No, it should be okay. But you're telling me I can't.
Why are you telling me you're okay? I don't care if you're okay with it.
It's
true. But it's a
thing where I feel like it makes you feel better, though.
No,
to know that
I've grown up with that.
So then you won't have to wait till 5 years down the line. You'll be able to do it right at the beginning.
No, I've grown up with that thing of not fighting around people. Not unless you are
about using the toilet.
No, even that it's going. So my thing is, if I'm not fighting around people, I'm not about to use the toilet around you either. I'm like. It's just fighting.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If you're told from the jump that like, it's calm, that like, it's okay, sister, open your bowels. No. Don't hold it. You'd have bowel problems. You do
blood at the same unless you are my brothers and my mothers.
Or clearly me, because you ain't holding out.
Then no.
That's actually so funny. Yeah. I'm girls actually go through it, bro.
No.
Do you know how it's actually it's quite really bad sad. To hold your poo in.
Yeah, it is.
First of all, you become constipated and you can actually perforate your bowel.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
It's a long day.
It is tough.
I blame the society. Please.
Honestly.
Please. I blame society.
Honestly, telling me
but
women don't
these Gen Z people, they don't be caring.
They don't be caring.
And that's why I love them for it.
They don't be
they
caring.
They don't be caring. Take it how you take it. If you like smell it, if you like don't smell it, they don't be caring. I just go to the toilet, and they go about their business. 100%. They don't be giving it.
They're getting rid of all these like taboos and all this shame. It's like, why am I
shameful
really
for good.
Human
yeah.
nature? Natural occurrences.
Yeah.
What's your 5 years?
Listen.
I don't think it'll be that early, that late for me, but it will definitely not be too early.
Listen, like I said, by God's grace, there's a ring on it before 5 years.
No, but you'll be married within 5 years. Amen. Amen.
But it's a thing where I will go toilet around you. But I'm not going, maybe for a few months starting, probably avoid going around you. After a while, I could give a heck. Because, and then this is now my house, this is now my comfort. I can't feel uncomfortable going toilet. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not going back to my mum's house and be like, this is her, I'm just here to use the toilet. This is now my home.
I just need to quickly run a quick errand, baby, I'll be back.
Unless my mum's
house. That you've gone
to my mum's house. And before, by God's grace, there's not going to be that situation. But imagine I'm trying to go and I'm so desperate. I'm not even going to make it then. I'm probably going to go and have to use the public toilet. It's true. How far she lives. It's true. I might not even make it to where she lives. It's so, true. Fun facts, riddle?
Oh, yeah, shit. I totally forgot. My funny fact is crocodiles can't stick out their tongues.
Never actually realised or thought about that.
Crocodiles can't stick their tongues out.
Interesting. Never actually realised or thought about that. Riddle from last episode is, set me to vibrate when you want some alone time with me. What am I?
A cell phone.
Yeah, keep looking at my screen.
Did I get it last time?
Yeah, you said phone. Okay. Yeah, yeah. What is beautiful and natural, but get long and prickly if it isn't trimmed regularly?
Your hair. Your pubic hair. Oh.
You were about to say what?
I said your pubic hair.
Yeah, but that's not the answer we're going for.
Oh, no, because I said hair, but so it's not your hair.
No.
But you said long and natural.
What's beautiful and natural, but gets long and prickly if it isn't trimmed regularly?
I think you've said this already. Grass.
I think I have.
You've used it already.
Then, if it's that one, no, I don't have a new one. Run it. Because I had that, but when I was going through my episodes, I couldn't find where I used it. So I thought, okay, maybe I haven't.
No, you've done it. You've done it.
Yeah. I'll insert a new one somewhere. I can't think right now, and I don't have my phone on me to be searching.
Do I have a riddle for you? For them?
Go on.
Maybe we could do an easy one.
What goes up but never come down?
I was thinking the exact same one. I feel like maybe we've used it already.
What's yours but everyone uses more than you do?
Your name.
Yeah. You start on four.
This is like a joke one. I like this one.
Go on.
What time is it when an elephant sits on a fence?
Go on.
It's time to fix the fence.
You're an idiot.
I like that so much.
No, that's different.
No, okay, hold on.
No, I'm tired and I start scratching my eye.
Okay, I'm going to do this. What can you hold in your right hand but never in your left hand?
Elbow.
Nope. So,
it is.
No, it's not.
It's not your elbow. What can you hold
in your...
No,
why am I saying no if it is?
What can you hold in your right hand but you can't
hold
in your left
hand? So the riddle this week as Tiwa ain't got one is what can you hold in your right hand that you can't hold on your left? That's the riddle this week. You know what to do. Comment. Go on, what do they do? Comment.
Go on, you were finishing this.
Send us the
This is why we always stick to what we do.
Well, you didn't come prepared this time, did you?
I'm not mad that you came with it, so I just said finish it. I'm not mad at it. Finish it. Finish what you started, sis. You can't be mad at something like that. Why would we? Yeah. Oh, long day. Someone that didn't have a job today. Long day. Do you know what I was thinking? Why do we get so tired even on our day off?
Because you're up. I hear people do that. You didn't do anything when you're tired. Because I've been awake.
Okay.
I've been awake.
Yeah, but it's not even a fact of, okay, cool, you had errands to run. I'm just saying in general. So I'll be up. I will not leave my... If I'm leaving my bed,
no, because you're awake.
Because I'm tired.
Because you have to understand, you're awake. It's not like you're sleeping. Of course you're going to get tired. Is that saying, okay, if I'm at home for 38 hours, I shouldn't be tired? You're going to be tired because you have to go to sleep.
Yeah, but it's like...
Because you're awake. Your body... You might not have done anything, but your cells have worked hard. Your brain is working. Is your body's... Your body's on work mode.
Tired on a work
mode. Like, I understand tired whenever you're tired. How about that?
Because you stay being tired. Because I was like, I understand tired on work day. That kind of thing. But tired, like...
Yeah, if you're tired, you're tired.
Yeah, because I was just like, oh, I'm tired. I'm awake. Especially days I'm not working, I'm tired.
I'm awake. How about that? That's tiring enough, being awake. How about that?
I told you I had a dream about my speakers working.
Because
since we've been back, a week plus now, all I've been doing is dreaming. For the past 7 days,
yeah, at least... We've been having a few dreams.
At least, like, when first came back, the first 5 days was back to back. Then Saturday we took a break. Sunday we said okay. Monday we said today's Tuesday.
Do you remember
Monday? No, I remember.
They say that you only remember about 10% if that of your dreams.
Yeah. I remember people we were in it.
Mm.
I remember weird ones and one that was scary.
Mm-mm-mm.
Any, the ones that happened on Wednesday, mm-hmm, Thursday.
You just know that you dreamt.
I just know I dreamt something. The one that happened today, because it was today, and it was like a thing where my speakers weren't working. In the dream, my speakers weren't working because something to do with my red ones that I had was connected to the black one. It was just a mess. Do you see what I'm saying? So when I turned off the red one and disconnected completely off the red one, my black one started working. I woke up to reality, the black one's still not working. None of the speakers, I don't have the red one anymore, the black speaker's still not working. I'm just thinking, damn, I have to buy new speakers. Like, I have to firm it. And I was just there like, yeah. But
if anyone can bust in JBL speakers,
please and thank you. Or you can fix it, because, yeah.
Just many ones.
I guess. But
what kind of dream? Give me one of the dreams. I know you got proposed in one of the dreams. Who did you get proposed by?
Stay out of my business. That's what we're doing. I like your outfit. Where's your outfit from?
That's what we're doing.
Okay, cool. You made my belly start hurting.
I can show you. My outfit.
Oh, you made my belly start hurting again. My belly was settling down, Melina.
My outfit's faint. It's a friend of a friend's merch.
No, because you started it. I came in peacefully.
All I ask you is who proposed to you in the dream?
Why are you,
I don't know that? Who proposed to you in the dream?
You don't know who proposed to me. I can't remember. Who's your friend of a friend?
So I saw something on Instagram the other day, yeah.
Nah, Fanny's good to it, my belly hurts. Oh!
Oh my gosh. So I'm gonna have to entertain you guys myself. I can tell jokes. Should I tell jokes? Let me tell you guys some jokes. It's warm in here. Let me just put on the thing.
Winter time.
But one of I can tell you one of my favorite jokes. T was not here, so I can put the feet on the table. Why did the blonde tiptoe past the medicine tablet? Yeah? Why did the blonde tiptoe past the medicine cabinet? Because she didn't want to wake up the sleeping pills. Because she didn't want to wake up the sleeping pills. It's one of my favorite ones. But let me not go there. But on the real things, though, it's pain. So this is what I'm wearing now. Spot. Suit. Something like that. It's quite nice. Very nice. So go and get it. Instagram. It's fine. PHAYN. On a serious thing. What was I gonna do? Okay, so waiting game for little Miss T one now, isn't it? I guess ain't nothing for me to do. I ain't got nothing to say. I would sing for you guys, but my throat's been hurting me lately, so I don't really want to hurt even more. I've got big performances coming up. I sing for the choir. Yeah, so obviously I want to lead vocalist. So I have to, you know, keep the vocals moist. I've been trying to do it, so I can't do it. You can't do it. I'm starving. Maybe I should check if there's anything for me to get to eat right now. See, I'm not very good with takeaways. Because I just never know what to get. I have to literally download Uber Eats down. I don't want like to spend money on takeaway. And two, like I said, there's only very specific things that I like to eat. Excuse me. Yeah. I got writer's blocks. So I couldn't entertain them anymore. So I just downloaded Uber Eats, trying to see if I could find something to eat. I didn't think it was quick.
Bro, I got there, I just had to fart.
So I just went to the toilet, I really washed my hand and came out.
So you couldn't fart here?
No, it felt like it was trapped. Like, it felt like I needed to go to the toilet. So I can't play that risk. I let it go now. I have to change the whole outfit. Please and thank you.
Have you? Okay.
But anyway, you were saying you found something on Insta. Yeah, roll your eyes, whatever.
I can't remember what I found on Insta.
Okay, man, that's what you said.
Did I?
Yeah, just before I stepped out, you said I found something on Insta. Well, I came across something, whatever.
Mm-mm. I came across something on Insta.
That's what you said.
Did I? Well, I can't remember. I don't remember coming across anything on Insta.
That was very, very quick. Less than 5 minutes, you make me sick.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
No.
We got video evidence.
We say, yeah, we do. We check after, but I can't remember. I don't remember saying that. You know what it is? You know what it is? I have things in my head, but I forget by the time I get here.
I said the same thing as well. And do you know what it is? I was thinking to myself, I said, we have really good conversation off cameras, but it's so picky if it gets on cameras at the same time.
No, but we're talking about your dreams. On a serious thing. On a serious thing.
Don't play with me.
No, on a serious thing.
One of them was really weird. One of them was that I went back home.
Okay, going back to the proposal thing, I'm not going to say anything. Okay. But I did ask you whether you accepted the proposal or not.
No, so here's the thing. So you see how...
Because they say...
Yeah, because they say you shouldn't accept it. I think we've had this conversation before. But you see how... I think... You see how I was trying to get the merch and stuff and someone messaged me saying they saw our thing. She was in it. So I was so confused. Like,
she saw what?
Saw my email. The person
She
was in it. So I was so bad. But
they say that when if you like come across someone on that day or you speak to someone, they can pop up on your dreams. It's whoever's
one,
been...
two words.
Yeah, it's enough. It's enough. Clearly. It's enough for it to come up in your dreams.
But the other one, I hadn't spoken through it at all the whole day. Not one part.
The one I proposed?
Yeah. Didn't have a conversation. You make me sick. Why is your face like that? Fix your face. Let go of your laugh and fix your face. But
why did they say that? Obviously, to go into detail, they say that not to propose. It's like an African
thing, like,
because if you accept, you're saying you're getting married to a demon.
Yeah, you're basically getting bad married spirits. In a different realm.
Yeah, that's what they say. So, and they say not to eat when you're.
Yeah, they tell you not to do a lot of things, please.
Because then you're getting, you know, you're...
I can't control what I'm doing in there.
And then if you're having, like, wet dreams as well, you're having sex with demons. That's what they're saying. That's what they say.
We have no proof of that, no, Bim. But, so the proposal happened, but I can't tell you what led up to it.
Or what happened after.
The proposal happened, I saw that person, it just didn't add up because that person looked like they were getting proposed to as well. Yeah, it was weird. So I was there like, this is very weird. And then I kind of went into a different phase of the dream. And that was it. I didn't accept nothing before anyone come tell me anything. I didn't accept nothing.
Can't accept anything. Because when I first came across that, obviously not accepting food or not accepting proposals, like I start thinking about the dreams I've had. Mm-hmm. And I've never actually eaten in my dream. Or accept, I've been proposed to, and then all of a sudden I'm married, but I've never said yes. Like, I've never actually said yes to a proposal.
I've never eaten in my dream as far as I'm aware.
You know what I'm saying?
As far as what I can remember.
Yeah.
Been proposed to quite a few times in my dreams. Yeah.
But I've never actually said, is that time?
I've never actually said yes or anything like that. Like, every time I get proposed to, then, there is a block of like something. I get into a different. Like, I've never actually said yes. I've never said no. That kind of thing. And I've had like dreams of people dying.
Yeah.
In my dreams, like where, like the recent one that I had the Monday, that one's quite scary. I was telling one of my friends, and he was like, "You better start praying." You know, you tell your mothers, start telling you start praying, especially because it's like something I'm looking to do or I'm looking to go somewhere, and I'm going with the people it happened with. It was a thing where it was like, yeah, it was like, you better stop.
Well, like, they in the plane or something like
no,
that.
No, like, so I get to a location. Some people find out I get to the location. Then they tell other people. So, like, my security is breached. People come in.
Come in, like, you're in my MI5 or so.
So the security is breached. Like, my safety has been breached. People come in.
You said close, it's been compromised.
Close family, friends get stabbed. Someone gets shot. and like they were dead in it, and it and it's a thing where the location it happens is somewhere I'm looking to go. The people in it is the people I'm looking to go with. So that one there is a bit more, I kind of remember that one. It's a bit more, oh, this is too close to home for it to be happening. That kind of thing. So it's like, best start getting into prayers, that kind of thing.
And hope to.
Yeah. Have you ever made dreams up?
Before I fall asleep.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, because I feel like there's a difference between having a dream.
Yeah.
And then making up a fake scenario in your bed. So in your head, sorry. So obviously if I'm really tired and by the time I close my eyes, I'm falling asleep, right? Yeah. But if I'm just about to lie down, the time has come for me to sleep. I know I'm a little bit tired. I have to make up a fake story, a fake scenario in my head for me to fall asleep.
What?
Listen, I don't know if it's weird, but I literally have to sit there.
Can you give me examples of scenarios?
Okay. So in my dreams, I'm a music producer. So like, with my fake scenario, my job.
Stop. Okay, cool.
This used to be a passion.
Okay, I apologize.
I used to actually enjoy making music. In my dream, I'm a top. Stop. Because your dreams are only your dreams until you put action to it. So you don't know. Watch me become a producer.
Sorry.
But yeah, in my dreams, I'm a music producer. So sometimes before I fall asleep, like I make scenarios of me just making music for like big artists. And then I'm making money from it, like good money.
You started off.
I was making music. So like, yeah, I make up a whole life that is completely different, like a whole different life.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously different, and I change it depending on who's in my time. So maybe like I change it. Let's say you might be in it here and there, or I alter it. So then I'm still in my dreams or in my fake scenario, I've still met Brenda Lewis. So in this fake scenario, I've still gone to London South Bank to do nursing, but I'm also a music producer.
Okay.
I'm a very much part-time nurse, but I'm also a music producer. I can still be able to meet you guys, but I've got money now, producer. I've got penthouse type yard type thing. And then like my first that song, like beat, I produced, I was like, this is my biggest mistake when I'm starting up, isn't it?
Okay.
And I sent it off to Crept and Conan, and they like, not to them specifically, but to like their team, and they used my beat, but they didn't like, they didn't give me my
political
money. But I was like, I couldn't do anything because I gave it to them. It's not like I gave them a sample. I gave them the thing, and then I didn't, there's no contract, there's nothing. So I was like, okay, that was the initial of how I went wrong, how I went left. And then after, that's when I started doing, okay, I have to make sure if I'm sending out, I'm just sending out a small sample so they can hear the sample, not the full thing, so they can't steal it from me. Then after the second one I made a song for Drake. I made a beat for Drake. and he gave me peace for it.
So you became rich?
That's how I started it. But in my dream, my father is rich. So in this fake scenario, like I got daddy's money in it, but obviously I don't use daddy's money because obviously
you the music producer own, yeah.
did that thing, and then my dad lives in Chicago.
So why?
Like in my dream, I'm born and bred in Cape Verde, so I'm born in Cape Verde. Obviously, then you move up to Chicago. The childhood is tough. Like obviously mum and dad are still together, and then like they split up, but it was a good split up. So obviously it's all cordial, but my mum moved down to England. I stayed out with my dad for a bit, went to school there, got into a bit of trouble in school, had to come stay down here with my mum.
That
my mum
down here, London, the States.
No, down here. My mum's living in South Woodford in the F-off house. That's how it is. She's in Sabo, a big ass house, swimming pool, everything. Then she meets someone, my dad meets someone, she has children, he has children. My brothers are a bit left. They got into
brothers.
They got into this and they got into that. Then obviously I've gone to uni now, I'm doing nursing. I've bought a house in one of the flats, that top house. I've made up the whole floors, I've got a gym in the yard, I've got a dog, but the dog is like, it's like a pit bull dog. I've named them. I've named the Boa. Boa meaning good in Portuguese. She's well trained, I've built this, I've done that, sky views everywhere. But
you've really been going.
No, I'm telling you, this is fake scenarios. Then I've got studio time, I'm getting artists and artists over here, and then in the initial stages, I'm like an undercover. Like, I'm not out there, so I wanted to really keep myself
low.
Like, I'll make contracts. Like, obviously, when I make this, I don't want to be known. I don't want to speak about me. Then eventually, I start coming to the limelight. Then I get producer of the year. The first few more to get the producer of the year. This is scenarios I have. When I go into that realm of just fake scenarios and dreaming, that this is my lifestyle.
So when we've been walking,
and then I just add everyone else into it. Okay. So depending on who I'm talking to, maybe okay, I've added him to it or I've added her to it. We'll go on holidays here and there. But obviously, I've got money now. There's a time where I decided I'd take a year off and I'm living in Cabo Verde for a year. But this is the thing now. I just come out and face. There's one time I even dreamt I got stabbed one time in my dream.
Blood fire.
I probably got stabbed in my leg, and I was off and I was down on myself. I had to have physio. They hit my artery, my femur artery. So obviously, if you get hit there, you're bleeding out. Like, the whole point to that and what happens after that situation, I can't really get into it because there's certain people involved. but yeah, it's just every, like, that's my lifestyle, like that, of me being a music producer is the main bit, and then it's just bits that come after it. But these are the fake scenarios. And when I'm really dreaming, it's always just weird dreams. Because you're not in control of that bit. But the fake scenarios before I go into bed,
this is the fake
scenario. So this is the lifestyle I live outside of.
It's not what I thought when I asked the question, but
No, honestly, I've got a very vivid imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Very vivid. I just create pictures in my head. Like, let's say when I'm reading stuff, when I'm reading the Bible, I'm literally picturing what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm picturing Moses going up the mountain, especially now that we've seen Mount Sinai. I'm picturing that. Like, I'm literally picturing it over my head. This is why I like to read fiction books, especially the ones about crimes and, like detectives and stuff like that. Cause I have a movie in my head while I'm reading the book. Mm-hmm. The movie's playing in my head. When I'm reading, the movie's playing in my head, and I love it.
Mm.
And that's why I like to read the fiction movies. And I'm going back to reading them again, because I just have bare books. I go to the bookshop. I don't know what the bookshop's called, but they literally do like £3 for £5, and I'm there, and I buy like 6 books, and it's just sitting
for
there.
For you not to read it.
Just for not to read it. So obviously, I'm trying to read it again. Mm. But yeah, that's why I just have a vivid imagination. I just picture everything, everything I can picture. Reading it and picturing it.
Okay.
So I think that's why I'm so good at making fake scenarios in my head.
Really? This is why when I asked you said, yeah, I'm just in deep thoughts. That's what you're doing?
What I'm doing. When I'm in deep thoughts, like,
because I remember, I don't know what we'd be doing. Be like, I'm just in deep thoughts.
I'm just in deep thoughts. Because you said, do I ever have, like, a party in my head?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, more 9 times out of 10, if I'm very quiet, I'm just in deep thought.
Mm.
It's either I'm just made up a scenario in my head, or I'm just thinking about something that's happened, and I'm just like...
No. Speaking of music in my head, this morning I woke up going to work, there was nothing playing, but it felt like all my music was, like, and it felt as loud as my AirPods. And then, in the middle of the road, that shit, me, I said me again for the second time.
You nearly got a hit.
I'm gonna go, but this time, my man's driving on the wrong side of the road.
Why is it driving on the
road? So you see, like, when you're going to the station, then mine, if you go through the back, that road kind of joins, but, like, if you go really sharp, you can be in the tube, but the lanes are very clear. Like, it's very obvious what side you should be on. He's driving on the wrong side of the road, and he beeps at me. I just turn my head, because I'm thinking, I could hear the car coming, because it was like, I know there's no music in my head, but music is playing. But I know the car wasn't that close. When it beat, the car was like close to my leg. I said, first of all, it beats me. I said, you're in the middle of the road. It's too early for this. You're in the wrong lane. Don't beep at me. And he just screwed me and drove away. I was just thinking, what is going on? It is really
o'clock. So when you went onto the road, did you look both ways?
No, I knew the car was coming. Because when I got into the road, I could hear the car coming. So
you
didn't
look.
No?
You see,
no, but like, why in the wrong way?
No,
I was, like, no, because listen. It's different if I was not on the road I'm not meant to be on. I was bang on in the middle of the other lane that you're not meant to be on. You've came in, and the way you've turned, you've come onto the, so if a car was coming, that's it. Like, you shouldn't be on that lane. So you can't tell me I'm at fault. I slowed down my walk because I heard the car coming. The way, when I was crossing, I looked at what way I should be crossing. I know, because if I'm turning this way, I know the car's coming this way. There's no car coming to my right, so I can be on that road. But you're coming from the left. Why are you on the right lane? Because if a car was coming, that's you in that car. And you can't beep at the car because the car's in the right. So technically, I'm in the right. So you can't then be beeping at me when you're damn wrong. And I said, it's too early. Gospel's still playing in my head. I said, it beeped up. I said, you're in the wrong lane. And I kept moving. Whatever you said, you were speaking to my back because I just carried on walking. And I walked about my business because I said, everyone's
been testing. No, passengers test me when I'm driving. No, they test
passengers.
Me. No, but...
I was about to say.
Pedestrians. Because you just going onto the road does not make me liable.
Yeah, but
I've tapped someone in the back of the leg on purpose to let you know you need to be careful when you're going on the road.
You see the thing is with Londoners.
And then they looked at me as it. Why are you in the middle of the road and the light is green?
No, but the thing with Londoners is we know there's insurance.
That's fine. But you're not. I will fight you till there's no money left before you think you're gonna claim on me after you were in the wrong. Positions can be in the wrong. I don't care.
No. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we can't.
I'm not. So obviously, I work in Newham, innit?
Mm-hmm.
In East Ham, and I tell you, it's the worst pedestrians. Ever to
yeah,
they're the worst. You are driving, boom, someone's gone on the road to cross the road. Hey, and it's not, his auntie has gone on the road, and she's not even trying to. Sorry, she's
taking the time. They own the road. I'm telling you, it is what it is.
But they have to understand. Cool, I've slowed down. One day one's not gonna slow down.
Depends on
and
the
two, I will tap you. I will tap you so you know. You have to be careful. I've tapped someone on purpose.
Is it?
Because they came across the street. And I don't stop. I literally make it seem like I'm about to hit you. And I beep so I can scare the shit out of you as well.
It's not it. But I hear it. It's London. I wouldn't do... The way I cross in London, I wouldn't go and cross anywhere else. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, even when
we went to Spain... No, because they will hit you.
Even when we went to Spain, I wouldn't just go and cross...
Because they will hit you.
It's in London.
You're too cuddled in London. You're too cuddled. Your baby. Other country, they will get you calm and do foolish in Nigeria. They will hit you. There is you to the side of the road.
I say,
be careful. And carry on the line.
And carry on about their business.
Why are you crossing? You should know better. Be careful. And even the police will even help them put you on the side of the road. No.
What? It's the fact that you even said ambulance. They will tell you what were you looking for.
You have to go and get in the kick and to go.
They will tell you what were you looking for on the road, mate. Who actually sent you job?
You don't want to be careful.
I was coming here. I was going through my nan's message. She'd just be sending a voice note. And I was just thinking to myself, so they call her something called the Yarnigi. So she used to still stick like firewood, like what they used to create fires and stuff. So it's called the Yarnigi. So I was just thinking to myself, would I have changed anything growing up in terms of having been born in Nigeria, lived in Nigeria for a good few years and just growing up? I was like, no, I quite liked it. I quite like the process of the way my life has happened, I wouldn't say there's things in there that I would change, even though there is, but you know, I have a saying that everything happens for a reason, but it's that kind of thing. If I could, I wouldn't change it just due to the relationship I have with a lot of people. If I felt like if I didn't grow up there, I wouldn't have a good relationship with my family back home.
Yeah.
Or even like that cousin. They just, to me, you lot are just annoying, you lot are jarring, that kind of thing. But having grown up, having seen what we had to do, what was I carrying? And he was like, you can't put it on your head. Oh, the bag.
So, yeah, I had to.
Been experienced doing that, that whole process of just, I've been there. So I understand. So I was just thinking to myself, I would.
But you had an interesting childhood because you went to a Muslim school.
I did. I went to, So my nan's house.
You had to pray and everything.
Yeah.
I think that's the coolest part you've told me about Nigeria.
Yeah. My nan's house, her house is literally here. The Muslim school I went to was here. Literally, my nan's as Christian as you get it. Like, you don't get past her. But so, I don't even know
how. It's a school of faith, clearly. Especially when a lot of the teachers are somewhat similar.
We went there and then, walked out. I never wore the hijab, none of that, but I did the prayers. I would sit on the floor.
But were you technically supposed to cover your head when you did the prayers? They didn't have you doing it.
Yeah, they didn't
have you. I mean, you're bored then, isn't it?
That's what we're doing. Actually, I wasn't bored at that age. I cut my hair when I was 5 or 6.
You look like a little boy.
If I find the picture, I don't mind putting it up.
If you didn't have earrings,
do you have the picture? I think I sent it to you.
I might do it somewhere in my archives. You look like a little boy.
Yeah. I had a little bow fit.
If you didn't have none of that and earrings on top, who's this little boy?
So, I was that. But no, when I went to Muslim school, I think I was 7 or 8. I went there for long.
Okay.
I went there for long.
How long were you there for?
I'm going to guess at least 3-4 months. I moved school there was no tomorrow back home. So I was there for 3-4 months. Then I think I went to a school. So the school the school I went to initially, that was a Muslim school, in front of my nan's, was right there.
Mm-hmm.
You come out, you take a left, you walk 30 seconds. My other school was right there.
Oh, is it? So why did you miss school so much?
I don't know. So first initially, I think I moved to the first school when my parents moved away. So when my parents came here, I went to live with my nan. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the first school they just enrolled me into. I think so I was there. Then, I don't know, maybe she realised it was Muslim. I don't know why I moved at that time. I went to the other school. The other school, I genuinely just didn't like it. I was calling my mom, I was like, oh, this school's rubbish. Because I preferred the other school. I was that initially. So after that, then they just put me in a private school. And then never moved from the private school. I just stayed in the private school. I got lucky. I got away with it because everyone knew my parents were away. So all the kids that I would get. So they will call you up on top in class and be like, what's 5 + 5? You get it wrong, you get beaten in your hand. Put your hand out.
Are they still beating the children now?
Yeah. Okay. They're still out, but I think they're trying to limit it. I don't think it's as bad as I wouldn't say it was bad then, but I don't think they do as
if
much.
If they're beating you for not knowing 5 + 5 is bad, my guy.
As in terms of as much as they're doing it back then. Enough. So compared to when I was there, they used to do it a lot, for everything you got wrong. Cause to them it's you have no reason to be getting anything wrong. So, when I do that, I would go up to class. And they'll ask me a question and I'll just be like, yeah, whatever. And then she get beat because my parents were always coming back with gifts. They always come back from London and they always used to just give the teachers money and
So how long were you there? Obviously, I don't want to put your life out.
No, that's all right.
How long were you in Nigeria for without your parents?
I couldn't say. I can't remember too tough. I don't think it was that long. At most, I'll probably say 3 years at most, or even less than that. Cause I think I've probably gone to my nan's at 6, 7. And then I was in London either before I was 9 or 8 cause I did year 4 here. So at most, no more than 3 years off what I can remember.
Okay.
So it wasn't that thing. And they were always, it never felt like I was away because they was always around. So they'll probably go away for 6 months, but they'll be back for occasional, Christmas, things like that. So they were always around in that aspect of if my mom isn't around, my dad would be around, that kind of thing. So it never felt like they weren't there. So it went they went straight 3 years without seeing them. So it was that kind of thing.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But would you say you like your process of growing up? Change anything, or are you happy the way it happened?
I don't know because it's hard to see it happening any different way.
Yeah,
because that's how it happened. Obviously, I could say I could have probably had a different life if I'd stayed in Portugal. Obviously, I could have had a different life if I stayed in Amsterdam. Or if I was born here, anything could be different. I don't know. My mom does say if she could go back in time, she wouldn't have moved to London.
Is it?
She would have stayed in Rotterdam. She would have stayed in Holland, so to say.
Fair.
Because she had more, there's more people there for her. Yeah. Obviously, she had one of just close friends. We had a few family members there. And it's she's just, the vibe there is different.
Different.
Because in Rotterdam, there's a very big Cape Verdean community.
Oh, is it?
Very big. In Holland, majority of the Cape Verdeans live in Rotterdam. So it's like she'd go out, she really enjoyed herself. Them. And obviously maybe it's just back then, like the money used to go a bit longer than what it does now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, but obviously her saying that now, she obviously can't say that she would be where she is now, because obviously she came here and was able to go and do nursing. She said she don't think she would have pursued university if she had stayed in Rotterdam. So everything that's generally happened for
it
a reason.
It fell in place.
It did, indeed. And I don't think I'd be doing what I do or be where I'm at now.
Mm.
Obviously not, but everything does happen for a reason. Yeah. For sure. Like, I see that, because there's death or testimony in my life, only because the fact of me going to London South Bank and studying nursing at one point seemed very slim. Like, it seemed like it was never going to happen. And it did. And I can literally say that me being a nurse, to a certain extent, is a purposeful point in my life.
No, I hear it. No, because I was thinking, like, recently, I was like, I went state not having the thought of mind that I was going to come back and do uni here. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, I'm on a four-year thing. I'm going to ride it out.
Yeah.
I can't tell you the process of when I applied for UCAS to come back to South. I literally cannot tell you.
You realize,
I was thinking about it. I think, because before I went state, state was my last option. I had offers for Northampton, Loughborough. I wasn't sure if I wanted to move away yet. So I had I had two Londons, two away.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool. Going to Northampton, I think I even went to go see Northampton dorms. I did the whole process.
If I tell you my process.
I did the whole process. I said, cool. Then I got the offer to state. I said, all right, I'll go to state, sister. Yeah, forget all this. I said, I'm going to state, especially the fact that everyone was being paid for.
Yeah,
all I had to do was my flights. Yeah. I said, I'm going to states instead. Having gotten there, started off this. I got there now, being given a new coach. I say, yeah, it's about to be long.
Not the one that recruited me.
Yeah. If it was the one that recruited me, so here's the thing. If I had the coach that recruited me, I don't think I would have gone South Bank in the weirdest way ever. Cause she loved me off. Mm-hmm. She would have played me. Like, it would have been a better experience for me per se in terms of playing. If I didn't go states in terms of basketball, I think I would have still been out there, cause I like the whole process of thing. But cause I went for a purpose, when it wasn't falling into place, it was just like, I don't see myself being there anymore. I can't be bothered to pursue anything. Let's go back. So in that process of doing things, I started the season where she had spoken to the new coach. She was like, this is where you need to play her. Like, just giving stats and giving IQ. I said, cool. Starting off the season, I played quite well. I had my minutes. I averaged the most steals, like, within my conference. I was up there for, like, Christmas happened. I came home for Christmas. I went back for Christmas. Only God knows what happened between Christmas. I can't put two and two together as to what happened to my man. What miracle happened? Because a few people stayed behind for Christmas. I said, my mom said she's going to pay for me to go. I'm going to go home. Why not? So a few people stayed behind for Christmas. I came back from Christmas. My minutes just gone. I couldn't tell you this is what I'm doing. And then after like first two games, I noticed it. I went to him. I said, what am I doing that's wrong? Or why have I stopped getting my minutes? He was like, I don't know. I said, bedroom. I said, stop it right. Then I said, cool. Then I realized it wasn't just my minutes. A few of the started going, minutes started windling down. It was just like, okay, cool. But there was two particular one that he liked that minutes stayed up. Everyone else was
the same.
Yeah. Everyone else was a bit like.
Was it how many of you were there?
Eight out of 14.
There was eight of us out of 14.
There's two he really liked, and there was one.
Was it Jacob?
Yeah, there was one he had on rotation that he was like, if it's a good day, it's a good day. So there's days where it got to the point where I didn't want to be that teammate. So I was like, I would come in kitted up, hoping for the best. If it happens, happen. If it didn't happen, then happen. And there's days where I just be like, oh, my ankle's hurting. I just come in, sit on the bench. I'm not even dressed to kick because I know what you're on at this point. So I said, cool. And then it's funny because one of the girls reached out to me recently. She said she has to do something to help him out. I said, for what? If you go look at the team now, not one.
Is it?
Not
same
one.
Coach?
Yeah. Not
so
one.
He was on a mission. Is it coach or?
Yeah. Not one. So it was a thing where it's just like, and then he came to have then, like, I was still thinking, okay, maybe I'll see how, okay, it's first year. I'm still pressure, like, goes run through it. Maybe junior will be different. Let's just see how it goes. Then he's having a meeting. Then it comes to me, was like, I don't think I can offer you a full scholarship, but I can offer you this for the next 2. I said, yeah, but when I signed my thing, I was offered the full scholarship for the the 2 years, yeah, and then go out. Yeah. And then he was like, yeah, but there's a few other international players I'd like to get. So I don't know if we'd be able to offer it to you. We can work on ways around it where maybe you help out and become like dorm representative. So I wouldn't have to pay. If I'm a dorm rep, I don't have to pay. So I was just sitting there, I just nodded my head and said, okay, cool. So I went in, the girls, we all had a meeting in my room, said, what's the plan? Because this ain't it. Because this is not what I signed up for. This is not what they told me I was coming here to do. This is not what. So it's like, all right, cool. Only two of the got their full back. Even the other international did not get a full back. She didn't go back. There's this other New Zealand girl, we're really cool. We're the 2 point guard international. She didn't go back. So we said, cool. As the year got along, because I still had a few friends over there, I kept track of it for the second year, checked it, and then just watched the game just to support the ones that I knew that I'm playing with them. And, like, they'll still FaceTime me. So I still kind of knew the people around because we'll FaceTime. I was the London international girl that everyone thought I spoke too fast. No one understood me. So I was that kind of girl. And, like, when we get on FaceTime, I even got to know the new people that came just by speaking to them. So as that happened, within that process, I'd call my nan and I was just like, it ain't working out. I was crying and I was like, it's not working now. I don't think this coach likes me. So my nan called my mom panicking because I called her. She's in Nigeria. She's called my mom. So my mom was like, why would you ask her? Cause you haven't called. So I just called my nan. It's just easier. So I called my nan, spoke to her. She was like, it's not working now. Then I spoke to some guy at the process that I was talking to at the time from here. And he was just like, don't you still have your option offers that you deferred? I said, I think I do. I went on to UCAS.
Started
processing it. But I said to myself, because I've lived away, I don't want to live away from home. I can't, like, financially, I didn't go through anything financially when I was out there. Because in States, I was given allowance. So I didn't need my mom's money. But here and there, it was still, like, if I want to go outside the allowance, I would ask them for the money. So it was a thing where I understood somewhat of finance, like I understood life now, like, because that was the first time not living home. I had to cater for myself, that kind of stuff. I had to cater for myself to even buying a kettle. That's when I knew. So I was like, okay, cool. Then came back, I said, I'm not moving back. I said, I'm not moving out. I've had the experience already. I thought if I moved out of their house, I'm going to start going out, because I never went out. I went to one party. One part in state, and the other time they were always begging me, and maybe because I didn't like being around a lot of this they just smoked and I just didn't like being around it. So at first I thought I did things, but as I grew up and I thought being by myself, I realized I still didn't like it. It didn't matter who was around me by myself still didn't like it. So I was like, okay, cool, not my vibe. The one part I went to, I was basically forced to go because one of the girls was really cool. I said, yeah, let's do it. Barely caught me, unless it was like a team thing. Even that, I'm there for 10-20 minutes and I'm out of my business. So it got to a point they stopped inviting me unless they knew I was coming or if it was being done in my dorm, which I didn't mind. So I was like, cool. So I looked through it. He started applying. I think he might have even wrote my personal statement. I can't tell you what happened. All I knew is I came back, they told me I had the offer, because I came back early May. They told me I had the offer for South Bank. I said, cool. I went to South Bank. I didn't even have certificates. I went there, I said, I didn't even have an interview. I just went there. They were like, bring your certificate. I went there, didn't have a certificate. I was unprepared. I got back home, looked for all my certificate, took it in. They were like, yeah, you can start first year uni. I said, yeah, cool.
But that American story is actually very much true for a lot of people for not many.
But it's weird because even when I decided to come back, I got offered a D2 NCAA fin.
And you didn't take them.
But because the offer came out of nowhere. It caught me off guard. So I got an offer for D2 in Virginia, which caught me off guard. So I was thinking, I haven't been getting minutes. How did it work? The coach that initially recruited me, she was still based in the school. She just didn't coach the basketball team. She was putting in work from behind, whereas I didn't know this. So when the offer came in, I said, oh, say swear, like
full ride.
No, that's the problem. That's why
it's expensive.
No, but all they wanted me to pay was $5,000 at the time.
That's nice.
It was so last minute for my parents that they were like, there's no way to go around it. But it was a film where they were like, is either you accept it and we can't defer it, because if you're not going to play, we don't know what's going to happen within that year of where you're out and stuff. And then was like, we can only cover, so it came out as 10, but they were like, if you work as this, even only doing certain hours, you only have to work one night shift, that will take off 5. So it came down to 5. But then in terms of like my parents having to pay the 5 and just, it was so last minute that everything was so thin. So I was just like to myself, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, the kind of thing.
Yeah.
That didn't work out. I said, cool. I came back. She emailed me. She was like, I've got something for you in Europe. I said, cool. She said, how much did they pay? She said, 1.5. I said to myself, I said, I really, really appreciate what you're doing, because you really didn't have to go out your way. But I'm getting that doing my part time. So it's just like, I'm sorry. I can't. And like, just after the fact of coming back home, that basketball thing, just please and thank you. I just didn't want to do it anymore. I just enjoy playing for fun. That's my only fitness kind of thing I do that I enjoy doing. So I just kind of left it at that, and I didn't want to pursue anything anymore. I was just like, so.
That's a realization for a lot of basketballers. Yeah. More basketballers than people like to admit, because a lot of us, especially growing up playing basketball, when you go to the academies, we're really fed stories of this American lifestyle. Because even me, I had the opportunity to a certain extent to go, and I was so distraught when I wasn't able to go. I was like, I need to go. I want to go to America. I want to go play the basketball. I want to go do this. Like, I must. Like, I was absolutely devastated. And then, obviously, because you're young, innit? That's what you know. I went to a basketball academy. All I knew was basketball. Eat, live,
drink. Yeah.
Everything's basketball. So it's like, the only next step now is to go and play basketball in America. Everyone's going. All my friends are going. Like, why am I not going? And you start to realize, I think, obviously, now I'm realizing it's like, just wasn't meant to be. I wouldn't say a lot of people, but many people go out there and it's the worst experience, and it's mentally draining.
It was mentally
and it's
draining.
Tough. And then when I did play basketball, the times I played basketball, I didn't exactly enjoy myself 100%. So I feel like if I did go out to America, I'll just be,
you'd have come back as well.
I probably would have been very hard, but it prepares you for different styles.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah, who knows?
Where are you going?
Who knows? I don't know. I'm just saying, who knows what could have been.
No, you're right. Because
that idea, that American story is only a success story for like
the bare minimum. 0.01%, yeah.
Especially if you're coming from as an international. Is the success story is low out in America, but obviously people come and find success out here, back home and everything, and it's beautiful to see.
Yeah, but I was going to say, in terms of like, especially the fact that you went to an academy, it's thrown in your face.
That's what I'm saying.
It wasn't in my we're living in different life. Like, there's one of me right now is in my bed.
Bruv, I've actually said this to you. This is how I can explain the idea of free will and God knowing every choice that you make.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely believe, whether this is real or fake, or maybe this is even left in Christianity, and I'm not supposed to believe this, but I've told you this before and I'm telling my people them. Mm-hmm. I genuinely believe that there is alter universes.
Yeah.
And there's different versions of us in all these alter universes that is playing out every single choice. Mm-hmm. So the choice I've come here today, there's another me that's made a choice to not come today.
100%.
There's another me that made a choice to never make a podcast.
Yeah.
There's another me that made a choice to never meet the people that I've met, or to never speak to you, to be rude to you.
Yeah.
Another me that's mad shy. So from the time I'm born, there's been decisions made on my own behalf and on behalf of my parents.
Yeah.
Like, the choices are all, there's all different choices, but I'm just living this choice right now. So I have the free will to make that choice.
But
God knows every single choice I can make.
Yeah.
So He knows the choice I'm gonna make next.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the free will to make that choice or not.
Yeah.
It's just there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It does, because it's like, He's ready for you to take that path, but if you take that one, He's ready to.
Exactly. So there's like, let's say there's 100 million paths.
Because He's ready for me to be my path on my bed.
And He knows every single path, but I have the free will to choose what path I go down.
Yeah.
So as they say, there's a path of drug there and a path of drug not there.
Mm.
He knows there's two paths I can go down, and I have the free will to make the choice to go down this path, and I choose, and I've just chosen to go down the non-drug or whatever. And he's like, okay, she's done that choice. Okay, now there's a choice. So he knows, just because he knows doesn't mean he's not going to stop you from doing, because you have the beauty of free will.
Yeah.
But that's how he knows, because he knows everything. He knows everything.
He does.
So there's a 500 million different choices to make, and I make this choice today. Mm. And he's like, okay, cool. She just made that choice instead of that choice.
Yeah, no, I hear
that's how my thought process
goes. That's the same as life, because there's probably one of you in America now still living out there.
Do you get?
There's marriage. Probably one of you in Cape Verde living with kids.
Do you get? Because I made that choice. Do you get?
Do you see what I'm saying?
like there's different lives. There's different choices that I've did made and they haven't made, and I'm like, that could have gone like that.
Yeah,
and I can pinpoint different choices.
Yeah, no. I guess.
Do you get? There's
a reason why actually, oh my gosh. There's me and Andrea with 5 kids living my best life. That sweet money life.
But I'm actually just thinking about all the choices I've made, and if I've gone the other way.
What would have happened?
Whatever other way that is, what could have happened?
No, facts.
Some of the choices I have made. I'm glad I made the other choice. Blood.
No, because what would have happened if I didn't go to SoftBank? What
happened
if I didn't decide to get a sports degree?
Mm. Would I be a teacher?
Would I ever be a nurse?
What happened if I went to America? Would I drive? Because I learned to drive in America. No one knows that. Mm. Every time I tell people that, they always ask that.
Only automatic.
Yeah. No, because that stick was hard to find out there. Do you know, that's why this driver's such
young. You've been back
for
how many
years? I'm not about to learn the manual now. When I could get an automatic car, please and thank you. No way. At least I got a license.
That's good. Not many people do have a license.
Not many people do have a
license. Sometimes it's just a personal choice.
They want to. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fine. But that's what I'm saying. But not a lot of people will actually know that.
I have a license. Just to keep me off you. You're trying to get on at me. I'm sure you know friends.
Why are you trying to look at me?
Because you're chatting shit. You're chatting shit. But yeah, that's my explanation in my head.
Yeah, no.
And then if you really get into it, I believe that people are just NPCs in my life. Like, this is actually...
Oh, you say that a lot.
This is my world and you're just living in it.
You say that a lot.
Like, you're an NPC in my world. Yeah. But you're just my favourite NPC.
That I have a repeat.
Do you know how you get? Like, I've made it so that this dissimulation means that I have a better bond than you, but you're just, when you go home, you don't do anything, you just log off. Log off. Then when it's time for you to go back into my story, you log back on and come and see me.
That is so rude, but yeah, you said that a lot. I guess that kind of put like different mindset and perspective of how people think, innit?
And that obviously that happens, innit? But that's the idea of the simulation stuff.
That's how people feel. Like, it's like logging on to Sim.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Yeah, so
like someone's logged in and I'm the main character. And then once you go home, like you see when you play Sims and then you get out of the car and the car disappears, you don't see where the car's going.
I've never played.
Stop.
I swear I've never played.
Oh, you haven't enjoyed life.
No, never played.
Not on the PC.
No, never.
Where you build a house.
Never played.
And then I see you won't even know what I'm talking about then.
Cause I come across like
when they go to work, they get into the car and you see the car go down the road and then the car disappears.
No.
So when you leave here, you get in the train goes out and you disappear and I don't see you again until it's the next day and I need you back in my life.
No, I've never played Sims in my life. That's one of the things I
need to play it. It's actually quite, it's nice. It's nice.
I'll think about it.
You haven't enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm not against it, but
did you used to play PC games and stuff?
Not really. I've always been, I'm just, whatever.
I used to love
games. Weren't really my thing. Really? Apart from that, you see that crazy taxi tin? You will catch me on that. You see when we had that taxi tin?
That's at school, yeah. That's at school.
I used to get knocked off. I wasn't allowed to log into it's time to do the work because you would just see me. She's talking. I'm just there like.
Yeah, that was
that
school.
One there. You catch me there. But apart from that, anything.
Do you ever just feel like, I feel like, because my mom, I feel like as black people, whatever, we actually live the same life. Like the things we do, the actions, because my mom follows this guy on TikTok and he's always explaining why do black people do this.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, she does the exact same thing. The guy's like, why is it when people are sitting down, they're always just rubbing their leg? Whatever they do, rubbing their leg. And I see my mum all the time.
She did this.
It's actually too funny. But depending on where you grew up, the child was actually the same.
No, you know, as I'm working now, I'm realizing what I'll be like as a parent.
it's all over. Because I'm dealing with kids, so I'm learning the steps.
No, but I think it's so, I feel like the way you are as with other people's kids is going to be so different to where you're
with kids. Do you think so? I take them kids as my, well, not all of them, but majority of them as my little siblings, as my firstborn. Like there's this, one little girl in year seven. That's my firstborn. That's my first child in school. I am not a mother to her in school. That, like, she looks for me everything. She emails me. That's like, anyone wants to deal with her, they come to me. That's my first child. And to me, it's like, I treat that girl like you're precious to me. And I was thinking, and then there's things I say, like, say, I'll be telling my kids off so they know me now. I'll be like, come here. They'll be like, no, me. I said, no, my twin. And everyone starts laughing and it's like, nah, she's talking to you. You better move. So that's kind of true.
But so, I feel like maybe you will be because you're around kids all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe you will be. I don't know. I couldn't tell about me because I'm very particular with kids, you know.
You very. No,
I couldn't have a career with kids all the time. I couldn't. Like, I'm good. I've said this. I'm good with kids. Mm. Like when I'm in a situation where I have to like entertain kids and take care of kids, I'm good. But not for all the time.
You're good for the short period, not for the long time.
Not all the time. Like, I can take a bunch of kids and make them entertain them. I just switch on my kids. Like, you've seen me do
it. Yeah.
We're in like Christina's communion.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of kids there and I'm entertaining the kids. Mm. But not every single day. Couldn't it? Yeah, because you have those disobedient kids.
You do it better than me because you can entertain the younger one. I can't entertain the younger one.
That's
the
what I'm saying.
I literally switch my kids.
Yeah,
I can't do it.
I think
this is why I decided not to work in primary school. The energy you need and require to entertain them.
I feel like
I feel like I would rather do a primary school.
I think
you would as well.
I'd be a great primary school.
With secondary school, I feel like I want you to learn a lot. Primary, I can't entertain you. I can't, my head hurts.
I can't.
And then you see all you like all that DIY.
Leave me alone, making stuff. Yeah. Oh. I could. That's what I'm saying. I could do it.
And this is but where
I don't know.
This is where we know where each other will come in handy at what age of the kids.
It's true.
We know where we will come in handy. You see, like, nearest son. For now, it's fine. As you get into secondary school, come meet me. We're best friends. Because I know how I'm going to deal with you. Because I have my little brother. I treat my little brother the way I treat my kids at school. And like, I have that thing. Because I will sit my kids down and be like, how are you today? How's your mental health? What have you not liked about today? How can you do? Do you need a safe space? I will sit.
That's beautiful.
That's me and you.
That's beautiful.
And that's what I do with them. So like, we don't really have a rest relationship. I just said, okay. For us to get a relationship, you need to tell me what you need from me and I'll give you what I can.
That's beautiful.
Do you need a safe space? Yes, Miss Hadi. What kind of safe space do you need? Do you need one where you need 5 minutes to yourself or 5 minutes to talk? She was like, I might need a bit of both. Just depends on my mood. Mm. Okay. I'm going to give you 2 cards. When you need one to talk, you hold this card up.
You're cute.
When you need one to be quiet, when you need one, you don't want to talk and you want to just be left alone to sit in the room, you hold this one up. I said, I would really appreciate that. And she just started crying. So I gave her 2 cards. She put this one up. I said, cool. And we left it at that. And it's that kind of thing where I can speak to you and that. Them little kids. What's a safe space?
Oh, please.
Nah. See? That's when you come in.
That's because they don't need a safe space, but they don't even know what's going on.
They just want to.
Because the thing is, they'll be able to tell you if they're upset.
But I don't
when
know.
The older you get, the harder it is for you to express emotions.
Yeah, but the thing is,
with young kids, they're going to cry when they're upset. They're going to cry. They're going to tell you what's going on.
My kids know when I'm upset. I will come in. They'll be like, Miss is not in the mood today, so fix up. So it's the thing where them little kids, they don't give a kick.
If you had the worst day,
I need you to entertain me 24/7. Whereas I've gone in today, I've gone in with the year sevens, but it was bad timing. I've had a student that's been bad. You're my last class. This is exactly what I said. Yo, get your book out, read for the first 5 minutes. I'll deal with you after. One of them just said, Miss, how's your day been?
Damn.
I said, it's been all right. Miss, are you sure? Yeah. I said, why? You don't see me yourself. I said, you don't worry about it. Just let anyone try me. Okay. As we started, half an hour detention. I'll see you after school. Thank you very much. That's half an hour. After the second one, everyone patting
up. You see them after school?
I think I'm staying around for 30 minutes. After detention, I didn't sit in detention. senior leads do. I just set it for you to go and see it, but I have to go and see you to tell you why you got this attention, so you have an understanding, which I really like. So I'll be like, after school, you've got half an hour. You've got, by the third one, no one's getting another one at the end of the day. And then, Miss, have a very good day. I hope it gets better. Thank you very much. So they always test the temperature with me when they come in. If I'll come in and I'm like, good morning, guys, I'm all doing, they know it's a good day. We're about to have a good, if I'll come in, books out.
Yeah, but no, but you need to be able to put aside your emotions. But it's not the kids.
No, but here's the thing. You're still going to have a fun lesson. It's just that. The what I would let slide that you know you shouldn't be doing is what. So like usually I'd be like, oh, don't do that. Rather than don't do that, it's a demerit, which is a detention. So it's not a thing where I'm just picking on you. It's a thing where I would let it slide if it was cool. And
yeah, but it's one of them. Obviously, it's cool. I'm not trying to go on to
anything. No, go on.
But it's like if you're letting it slide sometimes here. It's a bit unfair for you to just go say,
no, I hear it because everyone would say the same thing, but it's not a thing where it's a thing where I'm, so you've done something wrong. So this, I've told you to sit.
Is it like a,
don't
a,
hold the ball.
A warning tick?
Yeah. So it's, I've told you
before
to sit,
you give the tick.
Don't hold the ball. Mm-hmm. You've sat and you're holding the ball. I'm just going to go. Do you see what I'm saying? The instructions was given. So it's not a thing where you've done. Mm-hmm. And then sometime I give you the time because I know, you've done nothing wrong to me, so I shouldn't take it out on you. Mm-hmm. But when I've told you, don't hold the ball, I've turned my head before I say anything. I'm looking at you. Everyone's looking at you. We're still there.
Yeah.
Put the ball down. By that time, it's now that I've given you that chance. I'm not going to come in straight. If I come in straight hard at you, that's going to last for 5 minutes because I really like a lot of the class I teach. After the first 5 minutes, when you start buttering me up, oh, miss, your hair. So I come in full. Miss, your smile looks nice today. I said, what do you want? Miss, your hair's nice today. What do you want? There's always a catch.
Do you feel like teaching is fulfilling?
Yeah, it is to a certain point. Enjoy it? Yeah, like during Christmas, especially the fact I went around, I came back to like mini cards and it was like, I really, really enjoy your PE. You're the best teacher in school. You're really nice to talk to. So that kind of thing. I have that all around our board and stuff. So it's quite nice. Like I thought about like, I don't see myself teaching for a long time, like why in terms not? Of thing. I just feel like there's still other careers I want to, but in terms of like, I don't see myself fully leaving either.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said if I don't teach, I'll still do cover supervising and stuff like that.
I've said that as well. I feel like, to a certain extent, my purpose is to do nursing, but not for the rest, for not whole
my
life.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
But I love it to, especially when I have interacting with different people and obviously the way I interact with them and they interact with me and doing the job itself. From young, I've always wanted to do something that's helping people. So I would never not do nursing, but I'll do like an agency.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. And the only reason why, if I don't do teaching,
like, that's why in my dreams, I'm still a nurse and a music producer.
There's a lot of back things that they don't tell you go into a lot of things. Like with nursing, they don't tell you like a lot of the writing still you do. I didn't realize you do that much right. Do you know what I'm saying? They don't tell you like with the teaching, they don't tell you the amount of assessment you do. So in terms of me stepping down, it's because
so it's like you enjoy the teaching with the kids. The actual proactivity
and
part,
the
behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. And I enjoy the fact that I know, like, with certain students, even though it shouldn't be, they have a safe zone with me. Mm-hmm. So they will be the most disrespectful to other teachers. As soon as I walk in, the whole dynamic changes.
But there's boundaries there, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they know the limit. Like, the minute they... So it's a thing where, like, there's a year 7 class that I'm report. What they're doing, every teacher would want them to come and observe that class because they will not do whatever they do in other class in my class. So I will walk into their lesson, the whole percentage change. Now everyone's quiet. Everyone's sitting up. I have a thing for sitting up. So if you're not everyone's sitting up with the books open and I'm just walking around quietly with my laptop like this and I walk out. So they think I'm gone. As I've taken, so I go about my business. I do what I need to do. But in that kind of, but the back work is where I was like, no. If I was to leave teaching, I don't think I ever would fully leave it. I'll still do cover supervising just in case I need to get back into it. And they're like, what have you done for this year? And life things happen that always changes. So you kind of still want to be in, I still want to be in the picture just in case things change here and there.
But the beauty of it is teaching, you'll find it everywhere and anywhere.
Yeah.
Rather than finding a job, you find a career.
Yeah.
Which they say is a lifetime thing. So,
and
regardless.
I thank COVID for that. In the nicest way ever, I thank COVID for that. Cause I don't think I thought about teaching, but I didn't really put it into perspective. when COVID happened, I had to think, what can pay me when I still sit at home?
Yeah, exactly. And that's it.
I actually thank COVID for that, but
that's it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I'm happy that you're one of you. The way you've described, I don't know if you do, because I'm not there.
No, you can ask. I don't know anyone. If I
believe you, and I'm not there. But it's beautiful to hear.
My year 11 will speak for themselves.
It's beautiful, my year 11 will speak for themselves.
They were like, Miss, can we get your email when we leave? That no, kind of thing.
No, because what do you call it? It's beautiful. I say it's beautiful to hear because obviously not necessarily me, but a lot of children, especially when you're growing up in school, you knew that they needed those type of teachers. And it's very minimal that,
and you, yeah,
in comparison to, because a lot of the teachers are very rude and disrespectful,
they're
a lot
of the time, feelings.
Exactly. So a lot of the time it's a power dynamic. Even though to a certain extent it is, but sometimes it's like you can have power and not be
too much
not trying to put fear into the, like, I must have respect for the teacher. Yeah. No, it's about meeting the kids where they are.
Why they really like me to a certain perspective, they know I'm a teacher. But they see me as one of their G's. They'll be like, oh, Miss Roberts, what are you saying? So that kind of thing, but there's still a respect to it.
Yeah,
and the thing is, from the minute I'm not getting disrespected by my year 11s, ain't no little year 7 going to do. So it's that kind of thing. And when they start doing it, like the same conversation they'll be having when my year 7, I just look at them and they stop. Because it's like, okay, I can have this conversation with you, but when the year 7s are there, you need to know, like, this and that.
Yeah.
But
It's nice to see.
And I feel like the only reason why I knew the kind of teacher I wanted to be because I didn't see it or I didn't have it.
Yeah, and that's beautiful.
And that's where beautiful. It is. So, yeah, and I knew the kind of student I was. So a lot of the students that I see that are like me,
you see it,
I know how to handle it.
Because that's what you wanted.
Yeah. And so then, it's like, so that kind of perspective.
It's good. It's good. It's beautiful. Well done. No, honestly.
Appreciate it.
Honestly. Because you make a difference to, even if it's just one kid.
And that's all I need. I don't need to make it to everyone because not everyone's going to like me. I didn't know the impact of the one child I need to make to you. I'm happy with that. I'm going to be that person you see on holiday. I'll be like, that's Miss Roberts. Because I could see it happening already.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm be on holiday now. I can't be on holiday peacefully. Miss Roberts, you're in a bikini. Mind your damn business. Close your eyes and stay at my business, please.
You have to
please.
Start wearing a burqa to cover up your whole thing.
But what have you seen or come across that is very motivational to you, or spoke to you, or had an impact in your life in terms of Christ or anything motivation?
I don't know if I should do the one that I've sent to you already, and I've got a whole paragraph about.
You don't have to read the paragraph. I can read it for you if you want. It was really cute. I'm just saying, but yeah, go on.
I can do that one. I quite like that one. A lot of people gave me good reception about that one. It's Proverbs 18. Scripture.
Sorry, just before you, because you sent it to me, someone else sent it to me, and I thought it was
cute. Who sent it to you?
I'll tell you after.
Who sent it to you? Who sent it to you?
But he didn't put that paragraph. He just sent it to me, and I just thought it was cute.
Let me not say anything else.
No, go,
because
go.
We'll go back and forth, and that will be the one.
I'll be the one
to get drawn out. So let me not.
Right, behave.
But yeah, so the scripture. So this week, in what I've seen in terms of God that has moved me is Proverbs 18, chapter 18, verse 24. It says, "A man of many companies may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." So obviously with that, I said, picking who you spend your time and energy with is essential. You don't need a certain number of friends. You just need a number of friends you can be certain of. And with that, I might have said a little paragraph to Tiwa. Because if there's one thing I constantly pray on and reflect on is the people I have around.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was spoken to someone before, and they were like, you really just cut a lot of people off. And I was speaking to Laura, and me and Laura have been doing it from the jump. Obviously, when we start getting close to secondary, we would always have people around us, and if we feel like they're not good for us, we just cut them off straight. We've always been good at cutting people off, because it just puts a bad strain on you, and then people start associating you with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of that, I feel like I continuously thank God for the people who are around me that are active in my life, only because it's just genuine people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can say I have genuine people in my life that just want to see me do good.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see me do good. They push me to do good. And then obviously they bust me in different things, innit? Like they help me out, and it's beautiful to see, to have that. And that's something I'm thankful every single day. And yeah, so that resonated with me only because it's important. A lot of people are so quick to have so many friends that they still feel lonely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like they still feel lonely. They could be in a room full of people that they call their friends and still feel lonely.
Yeah.
Only because they're none of them, they're really there for you. They're not, to be fair, they're not your friends, just an acquaintance. It's just for the time being. And sharing your energy with certain people that are just going to suck it out. Like people hear this time and time again. And I feel like it's what's the word? Like he's getting like, just I don't know how to explain it.
No, but I get where you're going with it.
Yeah, getting told time again, oh, make sure you know who you're chilling with, or they're gonna change your energy. It's all fun and games, but once you're in it and you experience it proper and realize like I was bad then because of the people I was around, the energy I had taken out of me, there was no one really there comforting me, like I didn't have anyone I could be vulnerable to, even though I'm not vulnerable to anyone now, but I know I've got that. And it's beautiful, and it's having this certain amount of people that you can genuinely count on and really go to. It's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
because there's only so much. Obviously, God is there and He's the center of everything, but He obviously gives you people so that you know you can have that immediate response. So yeah, so
said let's all come together.
Yeah, that spoke to me, and I sent that to you specifically because
it's funny because basically. In all what you said is you were favoured by the people surrounded by you. Someone said that to me recently and I said,
exactly. Because you choose.
Yeah.
You choose. And it's beautiful that I've been chosen. I love that. You've been favoured by the people around you. I love that because everyone has to be chosen.
Yeah. Someone said that recently because she was like, have you not realised people or different scenario you've come across has played a little role in your life?
Yeah.
So now
good
you've
been, or bad.
Now you're favoured by the people around you, where it's a thing where you rarely see the bad, it's all the good now. So I said, yeah, I like that.
But we only pray for more goodness.
Yeah.
We only pray for more goodness. And the prayer of God, take away those who are not good for you, is a real prayer.
Praying hard.
It's a real prayer.
It's the season of praying for the next 40 days. Remember?
But I'm just saying that prayer is a real prayer. You pray that prayer 100%. And you start realising, you start seeing
things you didn't even expect, or you were people. Blinded by it, like you weren't seeing before, and out of nowhere you're starting to see things. Yeah, fix it up. You start seeing things, but
see what you know what it is.
I appreciate you.
We're not about to do this in a segment about God. Because this can go left in different ways.
Let's not.
And I feel like as embarrassing might be for me, you be the one that's gonna get caught under that bus heavy.
That's what you
heavy.
Do.
I'm just saying.
In this place for
after I just said your brother, you're my friend. Love.
Let's call it one. Let's keep it at peace. Let's not draw our business out here.
Especially not on the pod.
Yeah, not on the.
Not this kind of business.
This is how we handle peace, guys.
See?
Yeah.
It shall not happen again.
Okay. The minute this comes off, it's game over.
That's fine.
But so
what have you seen this week or since we last recorded in terms of
mine's a little.
Let me finish the question. Bless.
I put my hand up and I apologize.
Bless.
I'm sorry.
No, you have to say I apologize because I'm sorry doesn't mean anything.
I apologize.
Tiwa, what have you seen since our last recording in terms of God or motivation that has moved to you? Or moved you, sorry. You may, please.
Okay. No, I'm joking. I've come across a little prayer. Not a little. I came across a prayer.
Amen.
Let's not put it down. And it just says, Lord Jesus, please cleanse my thoughts of anger and worry. I know that worry is not your will for me. Please provide for all my needs as you promise in your word. Amen. I give to you all my fears, cares, and troubles as you have told me to do. Bring peace and comfort to my heart. And help me to rest in you and have peace.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me of any sins I have committed today and fill my heart with your love. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 And
to me, I intend in the weirdest way ever. I think I've gotten a lot better in that. I intend to worry a lot about things that are out of my control. But it's a thing where when I think about it, it's like, okay, cool. I know God's in my head. I'm saying to myself, God's got it. God's got it.
Mm-hmm.
But the worry's still there.
Yeah.
So, I was reading my daily devotion and he just said, call out to me when you feel like you really can't get your thoughts off something. Mm-hmm. So it would just be like, so my call out would be, God, I need peace right now, or Jesus, I need you. And literally that would be it. Mm-hmm. So I literally just be walking. And if my thoughts are just, do you ever feel like they just go out of control? Like you're really trying to get back into something else, like just get out of what it is. So like, it just feels like it's running. So I'm just like, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus. And then before I know it, I'm not thinking about it anymore. It's like, it's just.
No, but I said to you time and time again, if you control it, you control it. If you can't, you can't.
Yeah, but I know that. But when you just start thinking about it, like you, mine's a very strong thing, you know. Like we play it down so much. It's a lot easier said than done. Like, yeah, I'm calling him for help, but if the devil is trying to work that day and he's working a lot harder than I'm calling out for, the devil's winning. So it just means I have to call out a lot harder than the devil's calling out for. So it's that kind of perspective where if my mind starts running, it means the devil wants to start rubbish with me. And I'm just like, nah. So it's that fighting that battle against your own. And then you know what? If I'm fighting with you and arguing with you, I can deal with that than fight my own head, because that's more scary. I can deal with that because I can sort it out now. Hear what you say. I say, got about business. But in my head, who am I fighting with? It's me against myself. That's worse. But yeah, so that's been it for me. And then when I read that, it was on the day where like my head was just running. So it just kind of spoke to me on that perspective. But yeah, on that note, would like you to repeat your riddle again. What can you hold on your right hand that you can't hold on your left?
What can you hold on the right hand you can't hold on the left?
Yeah. You already know what to do. Send in your riddle via the Instagram. Leave the comment on the TikTok or the YouTube page. And yeah, be interactive with us on that note.
You've just listened to the Descentor podcast, brought to you by Spotify and hosted by yours truly, me, Len Sophia.
And yours, Tiwa.
Love and guidance.
We out.
Love. Oh,